Psalm 63, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. He writes, O God, you are my God, early I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh longs for you, in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I've looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life, and my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help, and therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God, and everyone who swears by him shall glory. But the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. So let this song meditate in your heart.
Oh God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, and my flesh yearns for you. In a dry and weary where there is no water, I remember you at night through the watches of the night. In the shadow
Lord, what refreshing words, Lord, from your word, to know that you are with us, Lord, always, Lord, and that we can always cling to you for all our need, in Jesus' name, amen. Right, if you would turn to Acts chapter 10 and give another shout out to Lorelei and Danny. We miss Lorelei and Danny, and also Justin and Janet. We are going to complete part two of our lesson last week, being led by the Spirit. How does the Holy Spirit lead us as believers? You know, oftentimes you may run into someone who will make a claim, or maybe they share something about you, but the Lord's speaking to them regarding a particular thing. Sometimes they say, the Lord showed me, the Lord told me. And sometimes when they tell you something for you, you have to always be able to make sure that you're in a place where you're hearing from the Lord yourself and hear what he has to say. Sometimes it can be hard to hear when they say that. And how do they know that it was God? Or how can they be sure? Oftentimes I've heard that a lot, you know, in ministry. The Lord showed me, or the Lord told me. I heard one that I never heard before when I got to Los Baños, was the Lord released me from this marriage. And I'm like, that's interesting. I never heard that phrase before.
I've never heard it.
You know, but they were sure. And it was kind of weird, because I say, how so? Tell me how he did that. Why did he tell you? Well, because we are not compatible. We're not happy. I said, So let me take you through some scriptures then. See, because the Lord is not concerned about your happiness. He's concerned about your obedience. See, and if you made a covenant with him, then before you can leave the marriage, you got to break the covenant with God first. Okay, and so they're like, well, I don't think I like you. I thought, that's okay. I understand, you know. Last week I shared Jesus' admonition to the disciples. If you remember John 16:13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So there's living proof that we have that the Holy Spirit is yearning to speak to us, is yearning to share with us. And so he'll guide us. And if you recall, I shared several verses in Acts where the Holy Spirit did just that. If it was in your handout from last week, if you still have that. Mm-hmm. The Spirit said to Philip, the Spirit said to Peter, the Spirit told Peter, the Holy Spirit said, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit, and on and on and on. And I shared with you how does that work out. And I gave a few examples that the Holy Spirit does this. And I said that the way God communicates to us is almost unique as each person. Each of us have a special, experience of that, of how God did it for us. And I said, I shared the constants were a lot through the Word, through community of believers, through accountable relationships, and through circumstances. A lot of times our circumstances, the Holy Spirit will speak to us regarding something that we're going through. But as far as the question of was it audible, or was it a feeling or an impression, a sense, a thought, and I said it varied with each example. And I gave you the example for Linda and I, where the impression that God gave me was, in 3 to 6 months, you will be out of here. And that was pretty unique, because that was unique to us. It was very clear. In 3 to 6 months, he didn't say, you're going to pastor somewhere else. He didn't say, you know, in 3 to 6 months, you're going to be ill and you'll no longer do ministry. He just said, you're done. 3 to 6 months, you're done here. And it's really weird, because I realize often that if we, and this is what the Lord showed me, if we hold the things that God gives us like this with an open hand, when he goes to take that, when it's time to take that, it's not going to be as painful. But when we're doing this, trying to hang on to it, it's like we talked about with Lorelai, right? Lorelai, we don't keep meaning to be using you as an example, but hey, you were here, okay? And you're gone. If we were to hang on to her and put the guilt trip on her, she may not get to where she needs to be in the Lord. And then we're responsible for that. And sometimes when we hang on to things that he's saying, I need you to let this go, because I got something even greater than that. Can you even imagine that? I can't imagine that. Maybe two Lorelais. You never know, right? We'll never go hungry. Just kidding. So that's a practical way, but also share that there are a couple of helpful practicalities, some things we need to continually be mindful of. And the three things I said, we by continually depending on the Spirit. Number two, by continually being filled with the Spirit. So dependent on the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit. And the third thing is by continually being controlled by the Spirit. I shared, if we truly want to be led by the Spirit, then we must dwell with the Spirit and not just use him as a supplement. Okay? That's what I see a lot in the world today. People use God as a supplement. They use Jesus. And, you know, I'm sure most people in here, we take some kind of supplement. Lynn and I take all kinds of supplements for things. And I think that's probably what's kept us, you know, healthy as we can be. But if I do that just with Jesus, and I'm only taking the supplement, but not eating a full course meal, then I'm relying on the supplement to get me through. And God did not develop us that way. We have to eat. That's why Paul uses references for young Christians where he said, well, I fed you with milk. Because you were not mature enough for me to give you the meat of the word. So now we have an eating going on, which is what we're going to be talking about today, as a matter of fact. And I want to point out just a couple of important things before we move forward. And I shared a couple of these last week, and I gave two of them. I said, number one, the Holy Spirit not only leads us, but he teaches us. Okay? He teaches us. And in many ways, it will precede the specific leading. He's going to teach us to do something first. I think one of the things that I know one of the things that we had a very, I want to boast in the Lord when I say this. We had a very successful run in the church in Los Baños because we were free from any of the things that usually happens in the church, money or for a pastor, women or any of these things, because we were guarded. We heavily guarded ourselves, especially with the finances and with the way that we ran the church. And the reason why was because of some of the things that we went through prior, being hurt by church leadership. We know what that's like. That's why we were mindful of say, we will not be like that. And I think one of the things that really the Holy Spirit was teaching me in that was in being hurt in ministry like that, or in anything that you are in life, when you go to God and you say, Lord, you see, this is painful. You see how much this hurts. And I've shared this before. You know, I can sit there and want to whine and cry to God about my pain. But in church leadership, when you're hurt by church leadership, I cried out to the Lord, you see how this is. You see how bad it is. And the only response I can get from the Holy Spirit was, yes, I see it. Now make sure you don't do the same thing. And I'm like, wow. How about if I just like retire now and I don't have to worry about it, you know? You be mindful of the things that we do in leadership and how it affects people. People can, you know, I mean, I better be real careful with this, but I mean, sometimes when words, you know, the words that I am speaking, sometimes how people are hearing it is not the way I'm intending it. But even with that, I have to be mindful of it, you know? Even if I'm trying to crack a joke or trying to be, you know, sarcastic or whatever, I mean, which is really my nature. But when I'm teaching the word, I have to be very careful with that. Why? I don't know where the ears have been. Maybe they got hurt during the week or something. I don't know. So I have to be careful. And the Holy Spirit is, he teaches us. And it always precedes that specific leading. And I use John 14:26, Jesus speaking, but when the Father sends the Counselor, as my representative, and by the Counselor, I mean the Holy Spirit, he will teach you, and everything will remind you of everything I myself have told you. Jesus is telling the disciples, when the Helper comes, he will remind you of the things that I said. Have you ever been to a particular study, and you're trying to remember something that was said, you forgot to write it down, and you're trying to remember what was said, and you just can't? Well, the Holy Spirit will remind us. And sometimes he reminds us through the internet. Go back and listen to the study if it's been broadcasted. I can hear it again. But he also said in John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. And he will tell you about the future. I like that. The Holy Spirit is wanting us to know what God is wanting to do in our lives. By the way, those verses tell us that the Holy Spirit will teach us, remind us, guide us, tell us exactly what he wants us to do. He may lead us by teaching us to live a godly life out of which right purposes always come. We talked about this earlier, about the way the things of the world, Hollywood and all those other places. If he wants to teach us how to live a godly life, only good can come out of that. It will be right and it will be just. Who doesn't want? And by the way, you will always make good decisions too if we're led by the Holy Spirit. Who doesn't want to make good decisions? I guess I can reverse that and say, how many of us have had to live with the result of bad decisions in our life, right? Oh, yeah. Thank God for grace and mercy. And as we've constantly gone back to those three things that the Holy Spirit desires to do in our lives, to number one, exalt Jesus, develop holiness, and engage in mission and service. And it goes without saying, to do those three things, we cannot expect to be led by the Spirit if we're continually involving our lives in the things that are counter to the Spirit of God. I love the illustration, Danny, that you gave about a movie. It didn't bother me before, but it bothers me now. Why? The Holy Spirit is working in and through us. We should be bothered, see? And if we're not, it means we're beginning to be numb to what's going on in there. It just came to my mind. What was it? Linda would know this. And the little limerick that they used to sing in Sunday school, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear, right? On and on. And so, number one, he teaches us. And number two, to be led by the Spirit requires a surrender to his will. What is the universal sign of surrender? Hands up. I'm done. I'm finished. I can't do this anymore. And as I stated last week, a willingness to be convicted of sin. Making excuses for our sin only takes our turns our receiver down, and we can't hear what the Spirit of God is trying to say. If we keep making excuses for it, we're never going to be able to hear truly what the Spirit is saying. Well, we want to hear. And now at this time, what I'd like for us to do is look at two various ways that the Holy Spirit led the disciples in Acts. The event that we're looking at has to do with Cornelius in Acts 10, and who we're told was a devout man. We say he was a God-fearing man, one who believed in God, okay? And what happens is he's told by an angel of the Lord to send some men to seek out Peter because he has a message for him. See, this is a man that's not even filled with the Holy Spirit, but he's God-fearing, okay? There's a lot of God-fearing people in the world. Will they make it to heaven? Apart from Christ, they can't, okay? And you can't be filled with the Holy Spirit unless you've accepted Christ. Something to think about. Cornelius sends some men to Joppa to seek out Peter, who's staying with a tanner. And Peter has also been used, and it should be important to know while we read this, Peter was used in some healings prior to this. And so it wouldn't be uncommon for the Holy Spirit to work in and through Peter as well. Let's begin in verse 9. Acts 10, verse 9. After all that took place, then the next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And so it's about noontime. Peter goes up on top of the roof to pray. That was a custom that they had. Obviously, my son lives in a house that has a veranda, a rooftop that you can have all kinds of seating. You can have a whole Bible study up there, and then you can see the ocean right over there. Oh, that was awesome. I wonder what that would be like. A distraction. You know? And so they would go up on the rooftop because that was their custom. And I shared that extensively when we were in the book of Acts, and for time's sake, I won't do it here. But he begins to pray an appointed time. Think about that for a moment. Do any of us have an appointed time to pray? Now, I'm not one, well, I should say, because I'm not that holy. I know some guys would say, I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I pray for 2 hours. Praise the Lord for that. I would have to pray to wake up at 4 in the morning. But do we have an appointed time to pray? And if not, is there a wonder why we don't hear the Holy Spirit speak? Do you realize that a whole week can go by and then a thought can come like, man, I didn't spend any time with the Lord yet. The week's flying by. Work, everything, no matter what we go through life, it can actually overtake us if we're not careful. But if you make an appointed time to pray, maybe you could say, well, obviously, I know we pray. Well, if we have 3 meals a day, I know we pray 3 times a day, giving thanks. But taking a special time with the Lord. That's what I love when the weather changes next week, to be honest with you. We've been back in the 70s. I love to go out into the Enchanted Forest in the little area that we have, sitting area there, and just sit there. And you hear the birds, and you can close your eyes, and you can just spend time with the Lord, and then just pray. But you can make that anywhere, and the Holy Spirit will speak to us. And just as a side note, because they had an appointed time, they generally prayed in what is known as the third hour, which was 9 a.m., the sixth hour, which was noon, and the ninth hour, which was 3 o'clock. The Jews normally would pray those 3 times of the day. So I'm safe there because nobody had a custom before 9 a.m. So those that pray at 4, hey, God bless you. You know, I could do it at 9. But look at verse 10. It says, and then he became very hungry. So he's up on this rooftop. He's praying. He becomes very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending to him and let down to the earth. And in it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And the voice came to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Man, those are some good words, right? And notice what's happening here. Peter is in some kind of a trance, and he's very hungry, and he is now visited by the Lord in this trance. The Lord is working this situation out that he's got Peter's attention. And is it not strange that the illustration that the Lord is using has to do with things that can be eaten? What happened in the garden? It was about things that you can't eat. You can eat this, but you can't eat that, right? Because if you eat that, boom. But over here, it's about things that he can eat. And so some of you might say that I've never been in a trance. Have you ever been talking with someone and begin saying something that you are now taking away somewhere else? They're talking, and all of a sudden, you're gone. I mean, you don't even hear what's going on, what they're saying. I remember being in a, fingers in air quotes, pastor's counseling session that had to do with Linda and I, and I knew we were going to get attacked, and I knew it, and we were. And when the pastor began to say things to me, all I could hear was like Charlie Brown, wah, wah, wah. Because my mind, the Lord was like, and that's where he shared a long thing, and I won't go into it right now. I'll share the story some other time, but I knew it was time for us to go. And I didn't hear a word that he said. And I think part of it is the Lord was protecting me. And it's a good thing I didn't hear what he said, whatever it was. But I was in that trance where, and he gave me a word. He said, you will have to leave here or you will be in trouble. It was crazy. I didn't even realize till 5 years later what the Lord meant by that. The pastor was taken out because of something that I told him about. You shouldn't be in a room by yourself with another female. And so 5 years later, he was taken out. Had I pressed that then, what do you think would have happened? We would have just, boom, butted heads, and all kinds of stuff would have happened. And the Lord, I believe he spared me from that. Being in a trance, or maybe watching TV and there's noise all around, and in order for you to hear what the TV's saying, you mystically block out the noise that's around you, right? You ever been in a room like that? I share the illustration, my older brother Gilbert, he had four kids. They were the four of the most rambunctious kids I have ever been around. I mean, it was like constant just noise and drama. And I was sitting there talking to him. We were watching TV, or I was trying to watch TV. And my brother's just glued to the TV. And I'm watching these kids like Banshees just running around. And I looked at him, I go, Gilbert, what? Don't you hear this? He's like, hear what? I'm like, oh my gosh. He was locked into the TV. He couldn't hear none of this stuff. That's my version. It's amazing. I guess he would tell me it was a gift. I don't know. But Peter is given explicit instruction here, isn't he? And what does he do? Probably the same thing that you and I do when we're given instructions. Verse 14. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. What a religious guy. Verse 15. And a voice spoke to him again and the second time, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. And this was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. So again, I'm gonna hold back. Not explaining those verses in its entirety for the sake of time, but it's important for us to look at something. Peter is being spoken to by the Lord, and as you and I would, we too would respond the way Peter did. Possibly, right? We train ourselves up into a certain way. It becomes a custom sometimes. I was reading about that today, that I'm going to go off script here just a little bit, that the United Methodist Church is now overwhelmingly changing. They're allowing LGBT, and they're going to allow same-sex marriages, and they're going to allow homosexuals to be ordained into ministry. They're now going to do it. And they're proud of it, those that are with it. So they're splintering off. But one of the things that the paragraph that caught me was, finally, after all these years, we can serve and rely on customs and our traditions according to our culture. Which I don't see that in the Bible. When we see things that are not right according to customs and traditions and culture, it always is coming out as, hey, this is how things were back then. Didn't mean that God wanted it or allowed it. Well, I should say it was allowed, but it wasn't of him. It was anti-God. And that's what we're seeing. So people are saying, really what they've done is they've given in to the people. Why do you ordain, you know? Or even for me, it's a little simple little thing, like, I better not go down that road. Female pastors, it just drives me nuts. I'm like, it's out of order, folks. Well, you need to get with the times, Al. Why? The times are sorry, man. It's like, this world is sorry. I think I need to get with the Bible and what the Bible says regarding that. Because when it's all said and done and I take my last breath, I'm going to be held to what God says. What did you do with my word? What did you do with my son? Not what the culture told you. And we're becoming the minority, as a matter of fact. You know, that we're weirdos now. Well, we have been for a while, but because we no longer will accept those things. But he's spoken to by the Lord. And look at verse 17. This is very interesting, especially the word that the King James, and not only that, but the Greek use. Now, while Peter wondered within himself, I'm going to have a different version that says something different.
Mine says, now while Peter was greatly perplexed.
Very good. Anybody else?
Doubted.
Very good. Well, Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant. Behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. Interesting. He's given this vision. There's going to be some people who are going to come to you, and you're going to do this. And he's like, oh. And now here it is, it's happening. But it says, well, Peter wondered. It's the Greek word diaporeo, which means doubting within self. It means wondering about. Peter's checking this. What does this mean? And he was, some of your versions say he was perplexed as to what the whole thing might mean. And in short, what does it mean? To be completely at a loss to know which way to go. He's been given this. What does this mean? What am I supposed to do? You know, sometimes we can be as well perplexed, which means that we need to learn to move slowly and wait for clarity. This is what Peter's doing. He didn't just run out and do something that's going to hurt him or other people. Lord has given him something in a vision. And waiting is part of the trusting process. My wife hates that. Mm-hmm. When I wait. But if I wait, it shows that I'm going to trust that God will give me what I need. He will show me what I need. I shared that before when we were trying to decide whether we were in Los Baños and rented a house and wondering after a few months, let's see, it was about 4 months, what do we do? Are you actually going to plant a church here? Is that why we're here? Or what do we do? Do we go back and save our house? That was in 2008 when the crash happened. Do we go back and save our house? And it was interesting because Linda had asked me. She was in our bedroom, which was the office. And she said, what are we going to do? And I said, I don't know. And she's like, well, I hope you find out soon. We need to know what to do. So I went outside and I looked up in the sky and I started praying. And the first thing I thought was, wow, there's the Big Dipper. Lord, is that the same Big Dipper that David looked at when he called upon you? Yeah. Well, Lord, I'm calling upon you now. I need to know what to do. What do I do? Because we have no idea. That was a very important turning point in our marriage as well, because she's trusting me. We got there trusting God. Now I need to trust him for the rest of it. And how many of you know that God doesn't give you everything at once? What does he say? Take the first step. Take the next step. Well, Lord, if you just gave me a clear picture, I could take all the steps.
Patience.
It's it. And he says, no, I don't work like that. We're going to get to that in a second. But I had to wait. And so I actually out there and I started crying because I said, Lord, I need a word from you. I need to know what to do. There's no way we can stay here without a job. And there were no jobs. And that's where the next day a guy called me about a job. It was to work at the cotton gin. So we got on our motorcycle, went over there because we couldn't afford gas in the car. $4.87 a gallon at that time. Let's take the motorcycle, right? $3, we can go up and back. And I got there, and the guy offers me a job for $8 an hour, 12 hours a day. I'm like, what? But he looks at Linda and says, Linda, are you looking for a job too? Sure she is. No. And but God provided every bit of that right there. But it took us to make that step and to take the step and to trust him for it. It was not the plan that I had. It wasn't. But waiting is part of the trusting process. And may I say, never act on a presumed leading while in a state of being unclear or in confusion. How many of you know that that's where bad choices come from? Never just respond, well, we got to do something. God, and why do I say that? Because God is never in a hurry, ever. If we are, we may be off and then mistakes happen.
I just wanted you to repeat that part. Don't respond. Never respond in confusion. Sure,
absolutely. Never act on or respond, on a presumed leading while in a state of being unclear or in confusion. Never act on a presumed leading while in a state of being unclear or in confusion. I've seen that a lot in ministry. Well, we don't know what to do, so let's do this. We got to do something, right? But because God is never in a hurry, when we do that, we're going to make mistakes. What example in the Old Testament comes to mind for us regarding that? What about Abraham and Hagar? Big mistake. Folks, we are seeing the effects of that to this day, right? The Middle East at war with each other. Why? Because of that one event. They can say all they want about it now. Well, we're different cultures. We're this. No, it was because of that disobedience. You didn't wait. What would it have been like if Abraham would have just waited, right? But he had help, didn't he? His wife said, why don't you go sleep with my maidservant? Then we'll have a child. See, I know how to help God. And it really ruined the entire world. Timing is key. Be patient. If it is the Lord, he will make it happen. Always. I think about that with Danny, the news he shared with the car door. I mean, he could have went in there in a huff and raised Cain and everything else, but he was patient. Well, okay, maybe they're going to have, a recall. Maybe they're not. Maybe they are. We got to go back again. All of a sudden, hey, we have your door. Patience. How many of us don't have that? I raised my hand. It is a good reminder always to learn to ask God good questions. Ask him the good questions. Lord, what do you want me to do? Or what are you doing? Speak to him while reading the word and listen to him while praying and take time to reflect. I always say journal what he's sharing with you. Speak to him in the hard things and the good things and ask, what do you want me to do in this? I remember one time when I was just feeling really, I was just really bent about something. And I was angry that I was angry. I'm like, Lord, why do I feel like this? And I've shared this with you guys before. And the only thing that came out was he said, because you're not getting your way. I'm like, that was quick. I'm like, I was hoping you'd take a little bit of time. You're not getting your way. But it's true. And it was true. And I'm like, man, I need to back off from this a little. And so, in our event, the men sent by Cornelius, they arrive and they make contact with Simon the tanner. And he's asking for Peter. And we see it in verse 18. They asked if this was the place where Simon Peter was staying. Meanwhile, as Peter was puzzling over the vision, the Holy Spirit said to him, "Three men have come looking for you. Go down and go with them without hesitation. All is well, for I have sent them." That is very important. So Peter went down and he said, "I'm the man you are looking for. Why have you come?" That is awesome, because the Lord is sharing with him, "All is well, for I have sent these guys." And while Peter is reflecting on the vision, the Spirit speaks to him. We saw in verse 19. And Peter did what the Spirit told him to do. We saw that in verse 20 of the admonition. And again, reflecting is always a good thing to do. Take time to reflect on what God is showing you. It may require removing devices. Get away from the TV. Put the phone in another room. I mean, I shared with you this a couple weeks ago that when you spend time with the Lord, that's when the people that don't normally call you, call you. "Hi, how you doing?" But get along with him. And again, I found that journaling for me is a good way to do this, because it slows down and it formalizes my thought process. I begin and I'm writing things down. I'm that way. I think that was just, that's why I was able to do well in writing police reports, because I was took great care and great notes, right? And then you could go back. Even if my wife can't read them, I can still. But notice, Peter had heard the voice. He got the initial direction, but didn't get more until he was reflecting. He's thinking about it. I'm going to show you a little something. Turn to Jeremiah 29, if you would. Jeremiah 29, Old Testament. Good time to acquaint ourselves with how to be able to find where Jeremiah is. See, the Holy Spirit knew Linda needed help with that.
Yeah, I'm serious.
After
what chapter
29. How many of you know that God generally doesn't give us a 5-year plan? And I know in accounting and in business, they always tell you, you need to have a 5-year plan. When I was in the school of ministry, this pastor came in. Well, he wasn't a pastor. He was a worship leader who wanted to be a pastor. He came in and said, I strongly recommend that each of you have a 5-year plan and what you want God to do in your life. And something stood out to me where I thought, if I make a 5-year plan, then God is relegated to my plan. Doesn't he have the right to change it? Well, you need to have some direction. Well, Jeremiah 29, beginning in verse 11 through 13. Somebody want to read that?
"For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future. And you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart."
Amen. If we search for him with what? All of our hearts. Not just the part that we give to him, but all of it. "Lord, I want to know what you have for me." And I love the way he starts it out, because the prophet says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope." How many times have we found ourselves in a place where there's no peace? And it's because of decisions that we made. "I think God would want me to do this." Well, did you confirm it with him? "Well, I don't have time for that." And then you make decisions based on your feelings. If we search him with all of our hearts. It has been my experience that if something is truly the leading of God and you're attempting to pursue that, then as time goes by, you will gain more clarity with it. If it really is from, he'll make it clear to us. On the opposite side, if it's not God, then as time goes by, it will dissipate. But the key is to focus on God and not the presumed leading. I need to focus on God. What do you want to do? I remember being in an airplane flight. I mean, I still have it somewhere. I think it's in my book, or it's in my notebook. What's the word I'm looking for in there? A whole, not a commune, but a whole retreat center laid out on the napkin of American Airlines. I drew it all out. Cabins, the eating place, all of that. It's all, and it's on 100 acres. That's what I had, and I feel God has given me that. But the only thing he hasn't given me is the land and the resources to do all that. Have I stopped praying for that? No. Lord, whatever you want to do, we're willing to do. I'm willing to do whatever you want to do. And on that, I saw places where people live to help work on and build that place like a sanctuary where people can go to get away from the things of the world. Now, I'm beginning to sound like David Koresh, but no, it's just like being at a constant retreat day and night, day and night. People are working, providing for their needs because God is doing it through them. It's just something that I look at and go, well, if that's not it, Lord, what else do you have? See, now for me to run out and take that bull by the horns and say, I need, 100 acres. I need so many X millions of dollars. You give it to all these other people, what about me? See, if I start pushing that, whose plan is it? It's Al's. And all travesty could happen. Now, to me, it's a good thing to be able to provide something like that where people who are destitute are down and out. And the whole thing was based around burnt out pastors who had a place to go to just rest. We won't even charge them for being there. Why do that? I mean, you're cutting them off. Be able to provide for that. The whole thing is provided by God. See, that's in my heart and in my head. I pray that something like that, then there may be places like that. You never know. I don't know of any places like that in Oregon, but there may be some on the beach. But a lot of times people want to get away to a place like this just to rest. And so, but that's God. God has to be able to provide that. And if we don't wait and really kind of let God do it, this is where we can get off course. When we focus on the leading and not the leader. And the other thing, I need to focus on the leader. God is the leader. What did he say in Jeremiah? I know the plans that I have for you. I want to be in those plans. Let the leading of God direct us and not our emotions, because our emotions can lie to us, can't they? They do. Mine do all the time. Don't trust them. If you trust your emotions, you're going to be in trouble. Trust God. In our study, while Peter is reflecting on the vision in verse 19, the Spirit speaks to him, and Peter did what the Spirit told him. And we know that in the rest of this event, that Peter returns to Joppa where Cornelius lived, and the gospel was preached and souls are saved. We're going to see that next week. That's part of your homework. But it created quite a stir in Peter's community. The church in Jerusalem was up in arms because finding out about this. And we'll speak on that next week. And in the bottom of your sheet there, Acts 11, verses 5 through 18, I'm going to have you read upon that. Read and write. Read and write. Read it and write down what the Lord shows you in that. Acts 11, verses 5 through 18. That's the actual thing that happened with Cornelius. And we're going to look at it at the proper way to be led by the Spirit and not our own doings. But it also pertains to not our own personal leading, but corporate leading as well. Where God would lead us, we as a church or as a fellowship. for Danny and Sherry and Kay, who attend Oak Grove Fellowship. God has a plan for that fellowship. Are you seeking the plan that he has for that? But we have to be accountable to one another in the area of leading from the Spirit. Number one, it's on your sheet, our motives. What's my motive for that 100-acre retreat? Oh, so Al can look good? If that's the motive, it ain't never going to happen. Or is it really truly that God has given me a heart for burnout pastors? Hey, I know what those are like. I have experience in that. Number two, what's our direction? Number three, what is our fruit? See, I said we got to be accountable to one another. Number four, our faithfulness to Scripture. When you're around other people, they would be able to tell whether you're faithful to Scripture or not. And number five, our relationship with one another. Okay? Can you imagine that? If I think about that whole thing of wanting to help these guys, and whoever really needs a touch from the Lord. If my relationship with other people is not good, how can I help provide that for someone else? See, in our verses today, we saw that this was not a Peter-oriented thing, but rather a Christ gospel mission-oriented thing. Remember Peter before? What was Peter like? Lord, I will not be like those guys, right? I will never deny you. Oh, yeah? But now, it's not a Peter thing. It was not driven by ego or self-preservation or even self-promotion. It wasn't about him. It was about the kingdom and the well-being of others. And more on that next week. But it does remind us of a verse, if you're taking notes, in James 4:3. James 4:3 says, you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. That's one reason why God wouldn't do it. And so how can we know that we are truly led by the Spirit of God? Well, when it is truly God leading us, there's going to be humility and a willingness to yield. We'll yield to whatever the Holy Spirit is saying. Also in James, verse 3. Matter of fact, let's turn there. I want us to all read that. James 3, verses 13 through 17, if somebody will pick that up. James 3, 13 through 17.
Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable and gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteous is sown in peace by those who make peace.
Amen. Isn't it amazing? For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. That's this world. It ought not be in the church, but it is. Sometimes people, when they don't get their way, it's like they get upset and they say or do things. Or they take their basketball and they leave. I'm going to go play in another court, right? And I want to leave us with this, that we really should be living in a way that we expect to hear from the Holy Spirit. The NLT at the beginning of James 3:13, he says, if you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it. How does it say prove it? by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. You realize what he's saying is you don't even have to say anything. Just walk it. Don't even talk it. Walk it. And people will see it. Every study that we attend, every time we attend fellowship, we should be there with the expectation, even when we read his word, by the way, we should be there with the expectation that we're going to hear from the Holy Spirit. Every time that we do that, we should be expecting that. And on your sheet there, I put a couple of things there, things to consider while you're doing that, while you're seeking him. What has he already told you that you're not obeying? Number two, what do you want to submit to him for his leading? What can you do this week to position yourself? And then devices, schedule, intentionality, accountability. All those things play into that. And as you do that, I put your Acts model there for just spending time with him. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. We want to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say to us. And I believe he's speaking to us as a group. He's speaking to us individually, for sure. But I believe he's speaking to us as a group as well, you know? It's really cool. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for your word. Thank you for Peter, who, Lord, is beginning to change, Lord, the world.